Namaste. Today let us reflect upon a most important but most difficult subject, and that is of harmony. Mother speaks of harmony as one with truth. She even says truth is supreme harmony and supreme delight. The sign that truth is operating is there, that there would be harmony. So this harmony, as we know, and we can equally say that disharmony is the sign that the forces of division are operating, with their attendant consequences of disorder, disease, division, and all the rest. This harmony is possible within an individual by discovering the true center within us. As long as we live in the ego, there is no way we can really harmonize the different tendencies that pull us in different directions, creating much unease, creating much disturbance. Actually, when it is said that the ego is the cause of all diseases, and behind ego, the ignorance, because it's the ignorance that leads to the sense of separation, and thereby each of us believe that we are separate in this creation. It is the cause of all diseases. It is very much understandable, because the ego creates a state of perpetual imbalance. It creates disharmony within us. Let's take a simple example. What does the ego do? Now it starts colluding with the vital. Now it starts colluding with the mind. Now it starts colluding with the physical. And thereby, to each one, it lends its own support in strange ways. For example, when the ego is colluding with the vital in us, then we are just driven by the vital. We become anger. We become fear. We become greed. We become lust, because the ego self-identifies. And because of that, we tend to commit excesses over the body, because of which the body begins to fall ill, because it's not meant to be driven by these forces to that extent. Each of us has a certain measure of these things. Human constitution is such that a certain degree of poison keeps circulating within it. But still, even within those limits, we can lead a normal life. But when the ego gives sanction, or rather identifies with the vital that this is me, then this kind of excessive ambition, excessive lust, excessive greed, excessive anger tends to upset the whole system. At one place, Mother says very beautifully, desires irritate the organs. So each organ in us has a certain requirement, certain function. But when we are driven by desire, let's say when we are driven by fear, all the systems work in a certain way. When we are driven by lust, all our systems start functioning in a certain way. So with greed, so with all other ambition. So this happens to the detriment of other aspects in us. Very often when people are driven by ambition, it is by diminishing the energies of reason, diminishing the energies of the heart, etc. So this kind of a one-sided development creates ambition. Similarly, when the ego identifies with the mind, then we become thought, and we are driven by that. And very often when we do that, it is at the expense of the energies of the heart, even at the expense of the vital. People who are too much into thought, the philosophical kind, we often see that there is a depletion in the vital, not all, but many, depletion of energies in the physical, depletion of energies even of the heart, because they are living too much into the thought world, and it creates another kind of imbalance. Or when the ego is identified with the physical, then we are too much all the time thinking, our thoughts are turned towards physical comfort, physical discomforts, physical pleasures, etc., etc. So behind all this, it is the sense of the ego self. But is the ego self the only self? Buddhism gives the remedy that dissolve the ego self, dissolve ignorance, and thereby we have a chance of awakening to something higher. Or rather, there is no I. We discover that there is no self, but there is only one reality. Buddha didn't call it one reality, but there is the experience of stillness, peace, calm within, a vast stillness. So the desire self, its irritation and the mind, its constant its weaving of thoughts, all these anxieties, mind-borne anxieties, worries, the body's different, how it drives the mind and pulls the mind and vital into it, its inertias, all that are sorted out. Just because we take away the stress of the ego self, which unwittingly gives a sanction to these parts and thereby makes them drive into these directions. Because these parts start experiencing that they are separate, independent, and they must have their full play. But according to Sri Aurobindo, also according to Sri Krishna, behind this constructed ego self, it's a construct of nature. There is a reason why it is there, because before we can discover the true self, it's like a shadow which begins to fall upon nature, and we start feeling there is a subjective I within us, the sense of I. Now, it's not located anywhere, but it can identify. When people are too much in the thought, then it is in the head. When they are too much into the heart, emotions, it's in the heart. When they are too much into the ambition, etc., it's in the belly. When they are in the body, it's with the most physical consciousness. So, behind the ego self is like the shadow, and behind the ego self, there is the true self, the psychic being within us. Now, as the psychic being grows, the ego self begins to become subtler and subtler. So from a dense, dark cloud, it tends to become a little more refined, more brighter shades, like a little brighter cloud, a little more brilliant, until a time comes when it becomes very, very thin. So thin that the psyche can begin to shine and even step forward. Now, when we discover the true self, now then, the true self does not create this kind of imbalance. The psychic being in us gives to each part what it needs. The ego can't do it. The ego can either put its stress here or there at different points of times. Even when we want to develop all these parts, still it's very difficult for the ego self to develop it harmoniously. What does the psychic do? Because it is in contact with the divine presence, it lends to the mind the true intelligence, the luminous intelligence, the wide intelligence, the right intelligence. All this it gives to the mind. It fulfills its thirst for knowledge. And this knowledge is very different from the philosophical weaving of thought that comes through analysis and a scholarly study of things. It's a spontaneous knowledge, intuitions that emerge from the psychic being. At the same time, its effulgence begins to irradiate the heart, impregnated with seeds of love and sweetness that come from the divine. So the heart's thirst for love, harmony, beauty, they are beginning to get satisfied. And the heart begins to experience a sweetness, a warmth, a glow, a love as never before. And again, it comes from within. So unlike the ego, which must go outside to acquire things, that's the problem. Another problem with the ego, that it thinks it must acquire things from outside. So knowledge it must gather by reading 100 books, by reading this newspaper, that newspaper. Whereas Sri Aurobindo reverses the whole thing. He says all knowledge is within. Nothing can be taught. It exists within. So what is the task of the teacher? To open the door to knowledge. That's the task. To teach him to grow from within, progress from within, and learn from within. Unfortunately, we are very far from that ideal. But this door of knowledge that the psychic, once it is open, it's also the door not only of knowledge, but also the door of love. So when we begin to receive it, then the stress, the constant friction, quarrel, with difficulty we find some love in some human being and we lose it very fast. And then all the attendant complications of jealousies, possessiveness, domination, all these go away because it doesn't need from anyone anything. It is receiving its own supply from within. It can only give, and there is abundant. There is no limit to its giving, because the psychic is also the door to the universal love. It is the only door through which we can enter into universal love. What about the vital and its urge to expand its empire, to have this, have that? Vital begins to change into a luminous force, and because of the influence of the psychic, the luminous force turns into service of the divine. Now, when we serve the divine and when we live in that state, in a state of contentment which is born out of the psychic presence in us, then spontaneously whatever is needed, we don't have to go, that comes to us. So it's a new law which begins to operate, and there is no need to satisfy this ambition or that ambition for name or fame or this object of desire or that object, because whatever is needed, it comes from us, because we are in contact with the cosmic divine. And we can say that Mother Annapurna provides all that is necessary for our life. And what about the body? To the body, to the vital, it gives that joy and luminous force. And to the body, the presence of the psychic gives health and strength. So when we are in the state connection with the psychic, because the body receives constantly the touch of the divine, even the psychic substance begins to flow into the body, giving it the sense of almost invincibility, because you know psychic is immortal, and when that substance begins to flow into the body, it gives the body a sense of even if I may use the word immortality, though it's not the immortality where there'll be no degeneration at all, but there is within the body itself the sense of immortality, the sense of invulnerability, not one that is born from the vital, the freedom from all fear, diseases, etc., and there is spontaneous health, harmony and well-being. So this is the effect of the psychic upon the different parts of a being. The ego tries to do it but cannot. By its very nature, it flows with whatever part draws it. And with the ego, these parts cannot be harmonized. We can only give little, as they say, give what is due unto Caesar and give what is due unto God. So it's like it keeps on running, now in the mind, now in the vital, now in the physical. But when the psychic comes, it doesn't need to do that. Its very presence is enough, and whatever is needed at each moment in different parts of the being is provided. So the first harmony that we need to create within us, which also gives us a great degree of mastery over illnesses and freedom from many, many ills, not a complete absence of disease, but a great degree of mastery, is by the psychic stepping into the forefront. In the mind, in the heart, in the vital, the heart is the emotional vital, and ultimately even in the body. But also we need from the other end, in these parts of a being, an openness and turning towards the psychic. Which means our thoughts should turn towards the divine. Our feelings should turn towards the divine. Our body itself must engage in the service of the divine. And when we do that, we will see that all these parts turn towards the psychic, or rather to the divine presence to which the psychic opens us. And the new exchange begins in our life. Right now it's an ignorant exchange with people, with environment, totally disconnected. I am separate, world is separate, people are separate, the plants and animal life is separate. All these are separate things. Whereas when through the psychic we open the doors to the divine presence within, then everything is seen and experienced in a totality of oneness which passes beyond words. Thank you.